This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
About it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, a little buy or sell on this Monday afternoon. Welcome back into the whole show. I guess I already know where you are on this, Mike, but buy or sell. If Bo Nix slips first few games, and the Broncos' record slips as well, are we in a world where you could say, yeah, Jarrett Stidham, see what he's got? No, I'm selling it. I had to bring it up. Because, listen, it's not a guarantee, though. You guys can slough it off and do the whole, well, Brady did doing the gotcha thing, oh, one quarterback. No. Bo still has a giant question mark on him. He was good last year. Guys have these kind of years. You see great, solid quarterback play early on, and then suddenly it just kind of goes away. Now, Bo did it. He got better, I think, as the season progressed, so that gives me a little more confidence there. I mean, when the defense did take a dip in the month of December, it was Bo and company. It was this offense that was picking them up. So I'm selling it, but it is nice to know that Jarrett Stidham is playing well in the preseason. And if Bo gets hurt, you're not totally fine, but you think you've got a formidable quarterback that can come in and not lose games. Because we think this team defensively is going to do really great things. Next one. Audric Estime. Not making the team, Mike? I think you're with me on that one. I'm buying it. I don't think he's making this team.
I will buy that as well.
Yeah. Audric Estime. You were great poll on the fifth round pick, too. You knew that right off the top of your head. But still, we talked about him a lot. Like, wow, that kind of felt like a steal. Well, I guess there was a reason he dropped to the fifth round.
Not good enough in my estimation.
What are you? Why are you? Rockies need 7 to get to 42 wins, which would be one north of the worst record in the modern MLB era. Seven more. Buy or sell, the Rockies get it done and avoid being the worst team in Major League Baseball history, in this era of baseball. Buy or sell, they're getting 7. Ooh, you're not liking it. I am buying it. I don't think they get particularly close to 7 this week with the Dodgers series coming up, starting tonight. But they're getting 7. Heck, they might even get close to 50 wins this year, which would be a stunt. If the Rockies can find a way to win to get to 50 wins, then I think that is a great sign for the youth on this team, and maybe even Warren Schaefer. I continue to go game by game, whether or not it would make sense for Warren Schaefer to be back next year. But they have been playing better baseball. Since the All-Star break, they're playing a little under .500, but in that 8-game losing streak really torched that. But it's been much better. So I'm going game by game here, but if they get to 50 wins, Is that enough for you to say, yeah, Warren Schaefer should come back next year? He took over. I don't remember how many wins they had when he took over, but they weren't. They were. I mean, it was like 6-7 losses and then maybe a win and then 5 losses. I mean, they weren't the streaks they were going on, the losing streaks, the bad streaks. It was awful. Like I said, in years past, even when they're bad Rockies teams, you could still get a win or two a week. In that first portion of the schedule for this team, the wins just weren't coming. I mean, they won game 2 against Tampa Bay. So they were 2-2 or 1-1, and they went on to lose 6 in a row. Then they won a game, lost 2, won a game. Then they lost like 8. I mean, the amount of massive losing streaks that they were having to start the year and bleeding into the month of May was really rough. You're not seeing that bad anymore. I mean, the Marlins series, you swept them. And then from that point, yeah, you struggled against the Mets, you struggled against the Giants. But you got into mid-June and you were still, you were competitive again. June wasn't all that bad. The end was pretty bad. And then July, pretty good end to the first half. In the second half, that 8-game losing streak looks pretty bad with Toronto in there and Arizona in there. But what did you just do? You went back and you beat Arizona. A week later, you win the 4-game series. Should Warren Schaefer be given a shot to come back next year? Should he come back next year? If I had to make that decision today, I would say yes. But I also said 2 weeks ago no. It's literally game by game for me with him.
The question in this instance is it Warren Schaefer's fault or do they just not have the talent? If they don't have the talent, then I say give him a chance. If they have a decent enough talent and he's not getting the job done, you got to go somewhere else.
Well, the thing is, the talent that they might have, they're all really young guys. You know, what is Moniak going to do in the long term? What is, some of these guys we're seeing getting playing time, like Fulford and Bernabell, Karros, they've all kind of been all right. And so and you don't expect that a lot, but I go back to a couple games ago when all three rookies are just hitting single after single for the Rockies. Like, it's a very unconventional way to win. But if those guys work out and you get to the point where Doyle starts hitting like he did last year, because Hunter Goodman has been tremendous this year. I don't think he had a hit yesterday. Did he? Yeah, he played. He was a pinch hitter. Seriously, they're 35-89, but if you just look at the last, well, really since the All-Star break, this has been a much better team. Eastside Chris, question is, who would volunteer for the manager job next year? Well, that's the thing. Like, you're not going to go out and get a sexy name, a guy that gets fired from their team that has a good pedigree or even like a resume like Bud Black. You're not necessarily going to go get any kind of name because they're going to – the way this has gone before is like, okay, the Rockies have not been very good. I mean, their farm system, their farm teams, like the players, they look good, and then they go to the majors, and bam, it's bad. What is the disconnect between their farm system and then once they get to the majors? And if you're a good manager, do you want to come here and basically get Bud Blacked? Your career just comes here to die. You're probably not getting a lot of guys signing up for that. Still, it's still a Major League Baseball manager job. But based off of what I've seen so far, I would say yes. Warren Schaefer has this team believing quite a bit more than what we saw under the tutelage of Bud Black. And I do think they're going to get to their 42 wins. A couple weeks away from that yet. Not putting bets on that. I'm done with that for a while. We'll give that a rest for a bit. 303. I think the new GM is going to handpick his guy, Rory, in Fort Collins. Yes, that's a fear, too, is that you would... They're not probably going to keep Bill Schmidt, but although there's a case for Bill Schmidt, suddenly. But you can't have, if they do end up having a historically bad season, or even if it's like 43, 44 wins, that's still pretty bad, like really bad. How are you going to look the fans in the face and say, not that they care, I don't know, but how are you going to say, yeah, we won 44 games last year. We're bringing back our GM and the interim manager to be full-time. That's a tough sell. And with Walker Monfort, he's trying to... I don't think he's necessarily trying to earn fans' support and respect, but he's going to come in like, hey, my job is to go hire the next GM. That's a big job. I can't just re-up with Bill Schmidt after we had our worst season in franchise history, when all season we were flirting with the worst record in Major League Baseball modern era history. So if you do hire a new GM, then maybe that new GM's like, okay, you had an interim coach or an interim manager. He maybe got the team a little bit better, but yeah, I'm coming in here and I'm going to get somebody of my choosing. Because that's what you get in any sport. GMs want to come in and they want to control their teams. And the best way to start off by controlling your team is to control who you're hiring as your head coach or manager. But it might be hard to ignore if the Rockies somehow win 50. I mean, I don't think so. That's 15 games. Took us forever to get to 35. All summer it took us to get to 35. I don't think 15, although they're winning at a different clip than they were when we made the little bet, Mike. So it's possible. If they get to 50, then you have to keep Warren Schaefer, I think. When we said we weren't going to shave our beards or cut our hair until the Rockies won 35, they just won their 10th game. They beat Miami on June 2nd. So we basically went all month of June, all month of July, and 17 days of August. 2.5 months is what it took to get 25 wins. And they got a month and a half left. No, man, a little under a month and a half left of baseball. It's been a long summer, Mike. Very long summer. Pushing for 35 freaking wins. Got it done?
I have a buy or sell for you.
What?
Of course it's Broncos. The Broncos will have 4 or more Pro Bowlers on their offense.
Broncos will have 4 or more Pro Bowlers, not all pro, but Pro Bowlers.
On their offense.
Well, Garrett Bowles, Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, if he's allowed to be open. But
Quinn Miners, Quinn Miners, maybe.
You're thinking just offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, are tight ends or something to be feared?
Just Evan Engram, not the rest. Adam Trautman.
Adam Trautman exists.
He's a person. He's a tight end that plays in the football league.
Got how many receptions last year?
No, dude. The tight end numbers were awful. Just awful.
I think I had about as many receptions as he did.
Evan Engram's not going to be a... Is he going to be that good? Here's who I'm... You know, I'm high on Cortland Sutton. So I'm going to say Cortland Sutton, yes. But he's got a lot of competition. How many receivers do they take to the Pro Bowl, Mike?
A fair amount.
I mean, the receivers in the AFC, there's two of them on the Bengals that are just, which is opponent previews coming up next. I'm just looking. There's Ja'Marr Chase, Well, maybe. Can you believe Jerry Jeudy finished third in the NFL in yards last year? In the AFC, sorry.
And half of those were against the Broncos last year.
Courtland Sutton will be a Pro Bowler. Garrett Bowles will be a Pro Bowler. Quinn Meinerz will be a Pro Bowler. Buy or sell, they have four. You think Evan Engram?
Well, I was also going to say, what about Bo Nix? He's got some weapons.
Yeah, but again, does he get to be a Pro Bowler because four quarterbacks are bowing out? Because how many do they initially take? Is it three?
Yeah, they take three, and then four of them bow out because they lost in the playoffs.
Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar, and Joe Burrow are all better than Bo. But one of those will be in the Super Bowl. I think his numbers are going to go down, but not like in a frightening way. I think it's going to be because they're running the ball so well. I realize that's crazy. Or should you trust Sean Payton to actually commit to the run? He had to write it down on his playbook. I don't think he's going to make those mistakes again. Last year was about showcasing his rookie that nobody believed in. This year, I think he's actually going to commit to the run game. That's based on just the moves they made. R.J. Harvey and J.K. Dobbins. You drafted one and you went and signed another one, which was a shock. I thought they were done after, you know, they got Evan Engram, they got Hufanga, they got Greenlaw, and then suddenly they got J.K. Dobbins too. That was a weird contract deal with the Chargers, but they got through it. That's a move that says we're committing to running the football. So I think Bo's going to have a hard time doing better than what he did last year number-wise. But he might control the game better. Yeah, he had a great year for a rookie quarterback, dude. But I don't know that those numbers, he duplicates those exact numbers this year. Last year, he threw for 29 touchdowns. 29 touchdowns and 12 interceptions and 3,700 yards. See, I could see like a 3,500-yard season, 3,400-yard season. Maybe the interceptions are down. Maybe he's at like 25 touchdowns, but 7 interceptions. So he's just more careful with the football because they have other options.
That would be nice.
Excuse me. We don't have the mute button in here yet, Mike. Yeah, get that fixed.
I'll get right on it.
No, I don't think so. You think so? You think Bo Nix is a Pro Bowler?
Maybe. No, I honestly don't care who... No, I don't care about the Pro Bowl.
Well, you brought it up. You brought it up for the buy or sell, and you say you don't care.
I just wanted to see what you thought.
Well, I think that they're going to be lucky to get three on offense.
Lucky?
Yeah. And that's where I sit. 23 minutes after the hour. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We've all been duped before. We've all been NBA centled, as they've actually come up with a phrase now. NBA Central is a fake account. NBA Central, but NBA Central puts out fake stuff, and it looks very similar to NBA Central, and it gets people sometimes. I've been victim of this before, too. I've seen stuff. I've maybe even retweeted stuff. But that was early on in my Twitter game, I think. So I really double check. If I see breaking news, Russell Wilson says he would love to come back to Denver, I would go, ooh, I don't, is that, oh, it's a fake account. Okay. It's not a real account. It's a spoofer. So I'm very careful on that. What I'm not ready for is people that are in the broadcast world putting out tweets on their broadcast, screenshotting it basically, and then turns out that was a bad thing. Ryan Harris, so the preseason game, was that 9 News, Mike? Was it on 9 News?
Yes, it was.
This flashed across my screen during the game because Micah Parsons is in the news. You know, Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons, both like rumors around them, maybe Hendrickson maybe getting shopped for trade. Micah Parsons maybe wanting out of Dallas. Can't get the deal done. Says he's done. So they flashed this alleged tweet by Micah Parsons. Or no, by somebody saying On Edge with Micah Parsons podcast is where the report came from. And so it just showed up on our screens. And it says, quote, from Micah Parsons, allegedly, which it wasn't. So it's not alleged. It was fake. My dream destination, Denver. I would love to play for the Broncos. They already got the best defense in the league, and they have a real chance at a Super Bowl. Now, I saw that. I'm like, why is this? Like, this is just in the middle of the broadcast. This is not a tweet. This is on the broadcast. And, of course, I screenshotted it, and I retweeted it, and I just said, say what now? But I didn't really. I was so shocked that, because again, it's on 9 News. A guy brings something to you. Don't you have a team of producers and such to be like, yeah, we got to confirm that that's legit. So Zach Stevens put this out because he retweeted Ryan Harris. Ryan Harris took accountability and apologized for the mistake. He didn't have to, but did. Shows his tremendous character. Ryan's an awesome person. And I have no reason to think that Ryan Harris is a bad person or even bad at his job, but that's a case where he came across this and he admits that he brought it to the production crew. And I've got what he wrote too. He brought it to the production, so he's taking full accountability. That's a mistake. Is that worse than McNutt? What she said? Because that Micah Parsons did not say that. So Ryan Harris, here's what he said. Lesson learned, more diligence. In the broadcast of Broncos Cardinals game, I brought a tweet to the broadcast team that made the air that turned out to be fake. The post had graphics that quoted a remark that was attributed to Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys. Regrettably, this remark was never spoken. I satisfied neither my own professional standards nor those of the elite team at 9 News. Throughout my playing and broadcasting career, I make it a point to learn from my mistakes. I have learned from this instance and will not make this mistake again. My sincere apologies to the NFL, 9 News, and the Denver Broncos. Read and verify. And that's what I'm learning to do on X, is read and verify. But when you see it across your news screen, that's another lesson for all of us, though. Is this worse than what McNutt did? McNutt, of course, the funny thing, she assumed that the comedian was wearing a Barry Sanders blue Detroit Lions jersey, and she said, I'm assuming it was a connection to Shedeur Sanders, which we're all giving her flack for, and some are wanting her fired for that. Ryan Harris brought a fake story to a broadcast. I also feel like you got a team that verifies those things too, though.
Worse for 9 News, but I mean, if you don't know who Barry Sanders is, that's...
Yeah, but that's not knowing something. This is actually putting out fake news on a news station, but we've all been guilty of it.
Yeah, that's why it's worse for 9 News. Like, it's Ryan Harris, and he was doing the game at the same time, I'm assuming, when he saw it.
He just said, I brought a tweet to the broadcast team that made the air that turned out to be fake. So I'm guessing in prep, he had this tweet and said, yeah, at some point, if we're talking about the defense and additions or whatever, let's flash this up or whatever, whoever creative is.
Yeah, so then it would be worse for 9 News as a team. Personally, it's worse, I think, for...
McNutt,
yeah. Because that's just... That's ignorant.
I like Ryan Harris. I know mistakes happen. I guarantee you this guy is going to be more diligent than he ever has been before. I mean, it makes me... It's so easy for us to get duped, man. And you can see an account, like his social media account is RyanHarris_68. All you have to do is create an account, RyanHarris_69, and put the same profile picture up there. It's a lot. And, you know, news people now, which they're probably being taught in colleges now, that is now becoming a fixation as far as a focus. How do you confirm this is a real story? on X or Facebook, because people are going to that a lot of times more than they're going to the newspapers and the websites.
And there's so much clickbait out there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've on this PC, if I click on the news story to the bottom right, and it opens up everything there. Every story is like, this athlete made a clear prediction about this thing. And it's like, I know you want me to do this. We're in the world of clickbait. We're in the world of beige journalism. And we only have very few sources that we can trust.
Well, and that's what's tough. It's like Nine News, they broadcast Broncos games. So you would think, okay, if there's going to be a Broncos story out here, that's going to be true. They're not going for clicks. It's a broadcast. They're just going for what's going to make the broadcast better. And if we have news, we can share. It's Nine News, so we're going to put that in there. Big Hub, this is great, because Big Hub is kind of is in the TV news industry. Brady, in news, because I work in the news, we are trying to compete with media outlets, so some do fact checks before posting. Others jump the gun and reap the consequences later. ABC that I only worked for so far has fact-checked before jumping the gun. Well, and I'm not, like, throwing anybody else under the rug because Ryan Harris is admitting it. It just seems like, for Nine News, pretty big, that they would, you know, hey, I saw this tweet from Micah Parsons. Is that verified? Is that 100% true, or is that a fake? It seems like that conversation, because that's big. This isn't just, Jared Stidham likes puppies. It turns out he actually doesn't. That was a fake story. This is one of the best defensive players in the NFL saying he wants to come to Denver because they're going to win a Super Bowl. That's major news if that were real. So I would imagine if you get a tweet like, now if it's just Micah Parsons says the city of Denver is pretty. Okay, that's fake, but didn't lead us to believe anything, because you can argue, he just said he liked the city of Denver. Maybe the topic came up. No, he's actually, the tweet is actually insinuating that Micah Parsons would like to be traded to the Denver Broncos. So in that case, I would just wonder, like, that's a big enough story where, okay, we got to make sure this is legit before we blast it on Nine News during a Broncos, even though it's a preseason game, it's still a Broncos preseason game.
So I don't have my Twitter account password, so I wasn't going to check, and I'm not going to get on my phone and check during the game, but I was thinking during that, like, who would we trade for Micah Parsons? Like, would we trade a draft pick? Like, would we trade a person? Is he worth all that money? Because we'd have to pay him.
But and the other thing is, like, the Broncos already played that game with Russell Wilson. They traded first round picks and players for Russ. I don't think they're going to be that eager to jump back into that same thing where we're going to trade multiple first round picks and a couple of, you know, C-plus players for Micah Parsons. I don't think they would run that risk,
especially
again at this point.
I mean, if it was a sub-mediocre defense, like a defense that's so bad, you're in the bottom of the league, you're in like the 30s in defense, maybe you jump the gun. But this defense is so, like, the word elite is floated around and
it is strange.
Floated around seriously.
Yeah, I think, listen, I'm not even close to perfect. This could have happened to me anytime, and it would suck, and I would hope that there was grace. I really don't think McNutt should be fired. The fact that she doesn't know who Barry Sanders is pretty crazy, pretty bad. Maybe you're not going to do football ever again for us, okay? For Ryan, no, I don't think he should be fired for this. I think this is a common thing in our sports world.
I think he is not the issue in that situation. I think the issue is whoever was supposed to fact check it.
Well,
like I can bring you some kind of story and say, hey, Brady, here's this thing. And then you can go look at it and go, wow, Micah, where did you get this news story?
Yeah, like Tanner and I'll send him stuff all the time, a screenshot of a tweet. And we both do this to each other. And I'll write back and be like, no, dude, that's fake. Or he'll say it. We do that all the time. And it's pretty easy. But I will say this. For Ryan to tweet that out, he's taking full accountability. He's saying he brought it to the broadcast team. He could have gone on and said, "Yeah, we didn't verify," but he's saying he didn't verify. So actually, that's stand up, and I guarantee you, it never happens to that guy again.
Yeah,
and it's a great lesson for all of us. So
it is a great lesson because.
I'm good with it.
You're right.
I'm
there good. Should be more verification.
There has to be. Days. We all do it, and we all screw up. We all get. That's why when Shams was putting out the tweet when Luka Doncic got traded, I was like, I'm not retweeting this. This is, and then I clicked his account. Like, yeah, it shows his millions of followers, and here's his last tweet, and then sure enough, you start to see more come out. There's a good way to do that, but it's still not bulletproof. It's still not bulletproof. Guys can. Bots, you can create a very exact same account, just change the name slightly, and you can work whatever kind of cryptic magic you have to give yourself followers, I guess. I don't know. And then it looks like you're a legitimate account.
Yeah, from Bleacher Report with three R's in it.
Yeah. Well, some of them are, like, very subtle. 40 minutes after the hour. Ryan Harris, man, all respect for him. It was weird. I even thought about deleting my tweet where I just said, say what now? But I didn't fully believe it, and I just was doing the, really? Is that real? But apparently it wasn't.
I went down the belief rabbit hole.
Oh, there was, in my brain at first, I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool, but then does that make sense? And how do you, Broncos take on the Cincinnati Bengals on week 4. I have them at 2-1 right now. Are they going to fall to 500 after... Cincinnati comes to town in week 4. Let's talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
First things first, I'm going to say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh.
I have the Broncos around 2-1 at this point, losing their first game of the season to the Los Angeles Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be a very good football team. I do. I think they're going to be a good football team. Cincinnati comes to town, and Denver lost this game last year. It was the Bengals were, in my mind, if they could have snuck into the playoffs, they would have been a really dangerous team. But they just couldn't quite get over that hump. Their defense was so bad. So bad. They fired their defensive coordinator. They hired former Notre Dame defensive coordinator Al Golden. And they're really hoping that that's going to be the thing. Because Golden was with the Bengals. He was their linebackers coach in 2020. And then he went to Notre Dame to be the DC and the linebacker coach there. And then he took over as the defensive coordinator in 2024. And now back with the Bengals as their defensive coordinator. So they're hoping that that will take hold relatively quickly. Because, again, this offense, when you have the studs that they do. I mean, last year against the Broncos, they won 30-24 in overtime. Joe Burrow threw for 412 yards, 3 touchdowns. T. Higgins had 131 yards. Jamar Chase had 102 yards. Mike Gesicki had 10 receptions for 86 yards. Phenomenal. That three-headed monster. Not very deep after that. But those guys are ridiculous. And fired their defensive coordinator, hired Al Golden. Is that going to be a big of a push there? They picked up two good linebackers. Their linebacking core last year was awful. But I don't know if these additions are going to make that much of a difference. And this is a bad, bad defense. So this is the kind of a team that I think they're dangerous. Can the Broncos outmatch them offensively? Unless your defense can just slow them down. They scored 30 on you last year. Can you keep them to 21? And then you win 24-21 kind of thing? That's going to be tough. But they're not, like, again, Broncos corners, I like them a lot. You don't think Jahdae Barron was brought to this team, drafted to this team for games like this to help? I've been going back and forth on this one, Mike, but I think the Broncos win this game at home against Cincinnati before a big matchup, a huge matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. I originally picked the Bengals to win this game against the Broncos. That's what my gut told me. So I'm going against my gut. I think Denver's defense will match up with a not very deep offense, but a powerful offense. If Patrick Surtain can hopefully neutralize one of those guys, didn't do it last year.
He certainly can.
Are we? Is it all year? We're going to do that kind of stuff all year? We're just going to do that? That's what we're doing?
Maybe.
Think about doing other things. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. What did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man gang. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this Monday, August 18th? We learned that I could grow a beard. Yeah, it's not bad. It's a little too much for me. Too much beard.
I think we learned that over the last few months.
Yeah, but officially, I mean, it was at its peak yesterday. And it was pretty big, pretty full.
It's a decent beard.
Decent beard. Decent beard. I always wanted to grow a beard and like, thank you, Mike. Not as good as yours, but it got there. It did what it needed to. It served its purpose.
Yours doesn't have the gray that mine does.
You know what's funny? It kind of trimmed down a little bit. I was doing that thing, and I found, like, there were some grays and whites underneath it all. It's weird how that does that. It's a very colorful beard. We learned that Jared Stidham's pretty good. There's no reason to be like, okay, well, maybe if Bo's not that. No, Bo's going to be the guy. It's just nice to know that you have a good backup quarterback. And we don't think Audric Estime is going to make this team, and I don't think we're alone in that. We also learned, hey, you're going to get duped. Just know you're going to get duped if you're on social media and if you're presenting it as news, certainly as a news person. Just double check and triple check. Ask somebody else. Phone a friend.
And if you're dyslexic, quadruple check.
Quadruple check. Yeah, because these fake accounts, man, they're getting smart. They're getting smarter. They figure things out. They got the bots. They figure out how to get bots to make them look like they have followers. I don't know. It's a crazy world. And we also learned, you know, like if you're going to get into the sports media world, at least know the big ones. Know Barry Sanders and Michael Jordan, you know, to start. If a guy wears a jersey, don't just assume it's Shedeur Sanders because his last name's Sanders. There's been a lot of great Sanderses before Shedeur.
If she had not known who Jackie Robinson was, I believe that's an arrestable offense.
Barry Sanders might be close. Pretty good player. What'd you learn, Mike?
I mean, I basically learned all the same things, except...
Well, sometimes you have
you
different
don't
takeaways.
Think four...
No. No. I don't think so.
You're looking at me weird.
No, I wasn't...
Like, Mike, are you being a homer?
No, I don't think the Broncos are going to have four Pro Bowlers on offense. On defense, sure.
I also learned that I say we way too much
yeah,
when talking
do.
About the Broncos.
Yeah, you do. Well, you did go to training camp that one time, and you had the press pass there. You were basically... A great reporter in that day. Didn't
great
ask a
Bronco
question.
Fan reporter.
Didn't ask a question. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow. What's the meaning of life now? There's no more 35 to get to. It is kind of sad. Good night, Northern Colorado.